Morning. If you'd like to, you can be opening your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Our first reading from God's Word will come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in just a moment. I'd like to begin by welcoming our visitors. Thank you so much for deciding to be here and worshiping with us. You are honored guests, and it is a great privilege to have you here. We know, as members who worship here, every Sunday and Wednesday evening, that when visitors come to be with us, we know that you have made a decision in your own life to set time aside for the Lord, to worship God, and to go to a place that you feel will be preaching and teaching God's truth, and that all things that are said and done here are according to the New Testament pattern that's given to us. And that's an encouragement to us. That means an awful lot to the members who worship here and who serve the Lord in this location. So thank you so much for being here with us this morning. As we have time this morning, we're going to talk about the qualifications for elders. As all of our members are well aware, we are in the process of selecting and appointing elders here at Northwest Church of Christ. I hope this morning to lay some foundational groundwork, some things for us to be thinking about as we think about elders and the qualifications for elders. I will get much more specific this evening, and so I would urge you to come back this evening as we go through the qualifications of elders, that which God has set before us, that we may know that a man is qualified, and we'll look at that closely tonight. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, Max Driggers will bring a lesson for us, and I think this is going to be very good for us because we know that Max served as an elder once before, and so he can give us that unique perspective that I myself cannot. Of a man who has stood in that position and who has served the Lord's church, who has served in this capacity for Jesus Christ and for the bride of Christ. And so he will give to us some things that he has seen and certainly make application to God's eternal word in that lesson. And so we will have a series of lessons that will come that concern elders and the appointing of elders. I ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we can just read the passage together. Look at verse 12 with me. It says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourself." And so Paul gives this instruction to the church at Thessalonica to recognize those who are laboring among you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, we see the word labor. I've highlighted it here in red so that we may know. This is a key word for us to think about when we consider elders, the eldership. What is it exactly that they do? Well, they labor. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. That Greek word there is kopiontos, and it means to toil or to labor to exhaustion. To toil or to labor to exhaustion. I want to share with you the only other place in the New Testament where this Greek word is used. It is in Acts chapter 20. When Paul is talking, interestingly enough, to the elders at Ephesus, he says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 34, "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands," Paul talking about himself, "these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring," that's our word, "by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And so that is that idea of laboring to exhaustion. Paul says, "You know that with my own hands I provided for myself and those who were with me. I labored to exhaustion, and you would have seen that when I was with you. You saw that in me." And please understand, as we look at and think about elders, their role, what God has called them to do, many times they labor to exhaustion. And it's not a physical. I bet sometimes they wish it was physical, so you just lay down and rest. But many times it is an exhausting labor of the heart and of the mind and the deep concern for the Lord's church. And that Lord would appoint men to oversee, to watch over the flock and to care for and to feed God's people. What a heavy burden that can be. And so these men will and will continue to labor to exhaustion for the good of the bride of Christ. And I would just say, as we're looking at this, as we step into this first passage that we've read, those men who may be qualified to serve as elders in the Lord's church, you certainly know who you are. You know the qualifications. I would ask you, I would urge you to be thinking about this as well. Can I do this? Can I take this work on? Can I serve the Lord in this capacity? Do I desire that position? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. When you get to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13, we see the word work. He says they work among you. And that's interesting too, because the word there is ergon. It means a deed that is carried out because of an inner desire. And so there is a work that elders do because they have a deep inner desire to serve in that capacity. They know from looking at God's word they are qualified to serve as elders. And so they labor and they work because it's in their heart, because they want to serve Jesus Christ in whatever role He's given them to serve. And to do that with great humility and great reverence to God, knowing that Jesus Christ is King and that as a shepherd you will give an answer to the chief shepherd when the day comes. You will answer for the way you handled His flock, His children, His people, and His bride. This is a very, very serious issue. We should look at it with much gravity in our hearts as we think about and consider this elder selection process, the way that we go about it. And those men that we are thinking about right now, that we believe to be qualified to serve as elders to oversee the Lord's church. Let me just give you a few things to consider. Like I said, I want this to be an introductory lesson. We won't jump right into the qualifications. But I want us to think about as a church, and maybe just throughout the line of history, since the church began, since Acts chapter 2, we can ask ourselves some basic questions. Are we training our men to serve God, our young men? Let me share with you a mistake that can be made. I believe it has been made in the past. It'll probably be made again. A congregation gets to a point where maybe the eldership dissolves, an elder would pass away, and so the eldership is no longer in place. And the church finds itself looking around and go, is anybody here qualified? That is not the way that should be done. We should always be looking for, longing for, eldership, a solid group of men who are qualified by God's standards to lead this sheepfold or this congregation. And so we need to be thinking about this way in advance. Are we training our men to serve God? Do our young men know about this idea of being an elder and that by tomorrow or so it's going to be your turn? It really does happen that fast. Ask those who have served as elders that it really does come up very quickly, as all of life does. Are we training our men to be qualified elders? I want to look at a passage with you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me, and we'll be thinking about this. I want all of our men, any of our young men who can hear what I'm saying right now, to think about the qualifications for elders. What does God call this man to be? And how will he serve? And are you preparing yourself for that? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, and I want to just make a little note here. This is not addressing elders. This is addressing the young evangelist, Timothy. But I am going somewhere. So follow the reasoning here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a young soldier, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." And so Paul says to young Timothy, if a man is enlisted to serve as a soldier, he cannot be caught up with the concerns and the cares of this life and still be pleasing to the one who enlisted him. Our young men need to know that. As you dedicate your life to God and think about your service to the Lord, at a very young age, you need to be praying and asking God, Lord, in what way can I serve you? In what capacity? Where do you see that I fit in this life, in this world? The challenges that we face, where can I serve you? Where can I be the greatest servant of Jesus Christ that I can possibly be? And those doors will open for our young men. There will be opportunities at school. There will be opportunities when they get their first job to show the others who work that it's not time to text, it's not time to look at your phone, it's not time to badmouth your employer. It is time to work quietly with your hands and to earn a living so that you may give to those who have need. To set that example at a very young age and to be longing for and looking for the next step in which God would set before you to say, now you are qualified to do this and you are ready. You have kept the faith, you have fought the good fight, and you are prepared. From your youth, you have been prepared to serve in this role. You go all the way down to the end of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Imagine our young men fleeing from youthful lust, pursuing faith, righteousness, peace, love out of a pure heart. Our younger men, with those that they serve with the church, that as they grow up and as they are developed and as they mature in God's Word, they are absolutely qualified to serve in whatever capacity and whatever role God has called them to serve in. He says in verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. You see the qualifications for an elder starting to kind of drop in here now? This man, what he's called to do, who he's called to be, we're told that he should love all that is good in Titus chapter 1. Verse 24 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. That is a qualification of an elder. Able to teach, another qualification. Patience, another qualification for an elder. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. These passages are written to every Christian who wants to serve the Lord. You can read them whoever you are. If you're a child of God, you can read them over and over again because it says, a servant of the Lord, verse 24. And you say, that's me. I'm a servant of the Lord. Well, look at what the rest of it says. But what I want us to be thinking about this morning is preparing our young men to serve in the Lord's church in the capacity of the eldership or to be an elder. Let's get in a time machine together. Let's all get into the time machine now together at the same time. We're going to set our dial to 45, 50 years from this very day. Imagine the congregation, the church is gathered. We are 50 years in the future, and we've gone through a portion of the elder selection process, and a member of the committee says, here are the names that have been put forward that we believe to be qualified as elders to serve this church. Trey Beaver, Josh Parsons, Case Schneider, John Simmons, Pierce Weatherford, Liam McGuire, Colin McGuire, Josh Munn. We believe in examining these men and examining the qualifications given to us by our Lord and our God, these men are qualified to serve in this capacity. Is that church going to be okay? Is that church going to have overseers that love the Lord, love His truth, and love His people? I recognize there are qualifications that we can't determine today for a young man, whether or not he'll find a wife and be the husband of one wife, that he'll be blessed with children. We don't know that. But it's never too soon to start thinking, to start preparing, and to enable our young men to serve in the capacity in which God has called them to serve. Godly men. Will their names be called one day? I would even venture to say that it'll be at different congregations. It probably won't be here. It's okay if you guys stay. But it may not be here. Maybe it's a small congregation where they finally found a second man who meets the qualifications, and they have longed to have men and to appoint men to serve in this office. What a great thing that would be. And that should be our hope. That should be our desire from the very beginning. Is the church always mindful of the need for qualified elders? I would submit to you in what we've read this morning that we should be. Let's look at another part of this idea as Paul is talking to young Timothy, he will say in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, listen to the warning now. There's going to be people who don't really want the church to do well, that they don't want the church to be in true and pure service to God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. There is a strong warning about those who do not love God and are not serving the Lord, but they are serving themselves, disobedient to parents, haughty. They don't love the brethren. They don't care about you. Are we going to need good, strong, qualified men in the church with these kind of men running around? You better believe we do. Verse 6, he says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Go down to verse 13, he says, evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing them from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You see where this point is really starting to hit home? When do we begin to train our young men to think about eldership, serving as deacons and elders, and maybe proclaiming God's word from a pulpit? You've known these things from your childhood. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You cling to the Word of God, young man. It will keep you thoroughly equipped for every good work that God will call you to do. Understand God's word. Hold it close to your heart. Follow it with all of your heart. The church desperately needs elders to oversee and to watch the flock. God has said that it is so. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, I'd like to just look at this portion of Scripture. These are the qualifications given to Titus. But I want us to think about all that we've read so far and see how all this is interwoven. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for a bishop, an overseer, pastor, or an elder, must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. You see, all the things we just read are being addressed again as we look at the qualifications for an elder. These things must be in place for a man who is a servant of Jesus Christ and who desires the office of an elder. And why is this so important in the letter to Titus? Because in verse 10, Paul says, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. The elders are called in these passages to be qualified to stand in front of these men who would speak things that are not true, who would subvert whole households and stand in front of those men and say, you're not going to do that here. You're going to get on board with God's word. You cannot be a part of the work of this church with the things that you are teaching and the doctrine which you hold. We can study. We can go through that patiently with you as long as you are willing to learn, but you will not proclaim that among these sheep. I have to give an answer to the chief shepherd. He knows what you're up to, and so do I. This cannot go on. It must not go on. And I'm going to see to it. A man qualified by God to put his foot down and to stand on God's word, which he has held fast in his heart from his youth, that he's known the Holy Scriptures, and he is now simply making application to warn those who are unruly, to stop the gainsayer. I'd like to also offer some gentle warnings, more specifically to the church here as we are going to begin this selection process starting this morning after our worship service. There's some things I want us to think about and to be mindful of. And again, I would just say that they are gentle warnings. The first one I want to offer to you is that it's a mistake to try to make a man fit into the qualifications that are given by God. The individual must meet God's requirements. You may remember from last Sunday morning we talked about in 1 Kings chapter 12, Jeroboam appointed priests from every class, even those who are not of the sons of Levi. And you may remember that I made the point, I hope you remember, it was just last week. I made the point that these men of different classes, not being of the tribe of Levi, that Jeroboam says, okay, you're a priest. And they go, oh, okay. That they didn't say, no, I'm not qualified. I can't be a priest. Well, there's a warning there for us to look at the qualifications and kind of bend and contort ourselves and go, you know what, I think I fit. I could fit. This is close. I can do this. No, it's more of, have we all watched and witnessed that you do fit? That you really are called by God, that you are qualified. Not that we would begin to appoint elders and all of a sudden you say, I got to get some things in order. Now, I think you should. But not to force your way into the qualifications that God has given to the men who would serve in this capacity. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4, it tells us there that no man takes this honor to himself. Speaking of priests, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4 helps us to see that a man can't take this honor to himself. A man can't say, I'd like to be an elder. What do I have to do? A man would know from his understanding of God's word that he is qualified and he should be thinking about stepping into that role and serving the Lord's church. I'm also thinking about, you know, because God says by the inspired writer in Hebrews, that no man can take this office to himself, but it was given to him by God, just as Aaron. Remember in Numbers chapter 16, remember Korah? Korah came to Moses and Aaron, and he complained against them, and he says, you're not so holy. The whole congregation is holy. God's made us holy. Why do you take all of this to yourself? Why do you treat yourself as the me? God knows whose are his, and so do we. We know who are qualified to be elders because of the instruction that he's given to us. We are not to be in the dark. And you are not to try to force your way into a position or into a role that the Lord has not given to you. As I said, if you look at these qualifications, our men here who may be qualified by a good number of the qualifications, you need to be longing for those things that you feel are lacking. You need to be thinking about those. You need to be praying about that so that you are truly qualified to oversee, to watch over the flock which Christ has died for. It couldn't be any more serious. Please examine your own life, examine your heart. The Lord will show us, the Lord has shown us, whose are his and who would be holy in regard to the office of eldership. Another thing I would offer to you is that it's a mistake to create qualifications that are not given by God. I think these two may go hand in hand. Sometimes there's a potential for us to say, well, I'm related to him and he cooks really well. It is great on the grill or whatever. Don't let those things confuse what qualifications God has given. And again, we might create and say, boy, he's a swell guy. And that may be true, but does he meet the qualifications that the Lord has given? Because if he doesn't, God says he's not qualified. What if a church puts a man in a position and says, no, he's qualified. And God says, no, he's not. We go, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. We talked about it. He's qualified. As long as there's no follow-up questions, he's qualified. Is he qualified? Can you answer that question for me? Does God approve? Is he pleased with the effort that the church has put forward when we put men in a position who do not belong there? We need to be very careful about that. I offer to you 2 Samuel chapter 15. You may remember the son of David. I want to read it for you because we'll see the way he behaves himself. He's a little upset because he wants to be king, David's son Absalom. We know David loved Absalom. The famous and tragic quote from David is, "Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom." What a dreadful life Absalom lived, and he had so much potential. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "After this it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him." So he's got a little parade set up now. He's got everybody looking his direction. "Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, 'What city are you from?' And he would say, 'Your servant is from such and such a city, such and such a tribe of Israel.' Then Absalom would say to him, 'Look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you.'" Aww. "Moreover," Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, that I would give him justice." That sounds good, doesn't it? Absalom's going to give you justice. "And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole their hearts of men and of Israel." Absalom made the grand mistake of usurping his father's authority, stopping people on their way to see the king of Israel, the true king, and saying, "Oh, if there was just a judge who would really listen to your side of the story, that's me." And as they began to greet him, he would take their hand and kiss them. He would reach out his hand to them in fellowship and brotherhood. "Man, if I was king, you'd be right there with me." And he won the hearts of the people. You know what that smacks of? Politics. Boy, if I was in office, your life would be great. Your pockets would be lined with plenty of money. There would be no potholes. Now, that's not going to happen unless I'm in office. This is not a political issue. This is direct instruction from God. We have the qualifications given to us that we may hold any given man to that mirror and ask ourselves, does he meet the qualifications that are given by God? That's what we must know. All things, as we go through this process, and really as Christians, always, all the time, and everything we do, all things must be done above board during this selection process. I have for you Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. I hope you know that verse, you're familiar with it, and that it's close to your heart. Colossians 3, I'm going to start in verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." We need to know these qualifications. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever we do, it needs to be in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has told us what makes a man qualified to serve in the capacity of an elder and to oversee his church. And that's an important statement. Did you hear what I said? To oversee his church. A man who is self-willed or is chasing after filthy lucre, chasing after this greed for money, those kinds of things, he will refuse to see that the church isn't his. It's not a political position. It doesn't belong to you. You have a king that you answer to. It's Christ's church. It belongs to him. How do I know that? Because it tells us in Acts 20 and verse 28 that Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. No man can take that to himself. Every man who thinks about being qualified and serving as an elder or a deacon or an evangelist or any other role that God has given better know and better fully understand this is not your church. This is Christ's church. He paid for it with his own blood. And as you step into this role, you will give an answer to him in the way you handled yourself. Great humility must be in place for a man to serve in these capacities. I want to urge all of us this morning to be thinking about the eldership process and the selection of elders. When the Lord's church, no matter where it is, when the Lord's church is selecting and appointing elders, it is certainly a time for earnest prayer, careful study of God's word, and close examination, both of the truth that the Lord has given to us and those men who desire that position. They need to be examined so that we may know that they're anointed by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit to serve in that capacity. Look at Acts chapter 20. One last verse for your consideration this morning. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. I hope and pray as we read these verses that we'll see all of this, all that we've looked at this morning, tie in together as Paul is talking to the elders that were appointed to serve at Ephesus. Acts 20 and verse 27, Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul, as he departs from the elders, he says, "Now remember, I declared the whole gospel of God. I am innocent of the blood of all men because I told you everything that God wanted you to know. You have been appointed by God, by the Holy Spirit, to shepherd the flock of God, which He purchased with His own blood. There will be those who will come into the flock and stir up trouble, and you better be watching. I did not cease to warn you for 3 years in tears that these days were coming upon us and that we needed to be sober, vigilant, on our toes every minute of every day with a loving heart dedicated to the bride of Christ." What an honor. What a privilege. I hope and pray that I haven't been too hard in this lesson in asking men to think about their own lives and to see that they are truly qualified and they do desire the position of the eldership, because what a great thing to look at God's Word and to know that you do meet the qualifications and that God has called you to this very thing. The church needs you. The sheep of all ages and maturity need you. What greater feeling is there than for one who's qualified to be a shepherd to come to me as a Christian and to pat me on the back and say, "You're doing great. You keep up the good work." And I say that for all of us. I see you. I've watched you. I'm watching how you talk to your children. You're doing great. We need shepherds to watch over the flock of God, and we know that God, it is His will that it be done. I'd like to finish what we've talked about this morning by urging everyone who is a member here at Northwest Church of Christ, stay here with us. We are going to have laid out for us the process and the timeline, which is going to be required by God so that we may appoint elders in the right way. You need to hear what's happening, what's being said, the order that is taking place, and you need to be comparing that to God's truth so that we can nod our heads with an amen. We're moving forward in a way that God would see fit. Please stay here with us. Let's go through this process together. Let's be earnestly praying to God that He would bless us in our efforts to do this very thing. As we always do, we need to offer an invitation. There may be some precious soul here this morning who's heard for the first time that Jesus Christ purchased His church with His own blood. We say, well, if Christ is King and He is truly the Son of God and He owns the church, how can I be a part of this church? How can I be a part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, which He has given His whole life for? Well, you need to obey the gospel. You need to understand that which you've been called to do, to turn away from your sins, to repent of your sins, to confess the name of Jesus Christ, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism, to rise up a new creature, to walk in newness of life, never going back to the old man which you've crucified, but saying, "I am a servant of the Lord, and I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God that's been extended to me." If you hear that calling this morning and you need to answer that call, please do that this morning as together we stand and sing to encourage you.